just like, okay, let's just have a real talk, no censorship.
Welcome to another edition of BFP Roundtable here on BoilingFrogsPost.com. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and today we are joined by Sibel Edmonds, of course the founder and editor of Boiling Frogs Post, as well as Guillermo Jimenez of the Traces of Reality radio show and podcast at TracesOfReality.com. Guillermo, Sibel, great to have you to here today to discuss a very interesting and very timely topic that has been making headlines around the alternative media blogosphere, and that is a series of articles that Sibel Edmonds has been posting to BoilingFrogsPost.com examining the Glenn Greenwald / Pierre Omidyar / PayPal / NSA scandal? Well, I don't know. Well, let's put a question mark next to that for now, and let's start putting some of the analysis out there on the table. So for those of you who have not been following this article series, of course, we will encourage you to go to BoilingFrogsPost.com and take a look at these articles, starting with the article that came out on December 8th called Checkbook Journalism and Leaking to the Highest Bidders, in which Sibel started to lay out a case that Glenn Greenwald's reporting on the Edward Snowden affair, it may not be what it appears to be. And we're looking at a number of different angles today, and one of them is an NSA insider source that has indicated to Sibel that apparently there was PayPal information that was specifically contained in the documents, in the Snowden documents that were leaked out, that have not been leaked to the general public via Glenn Greenwald, who is acting as the leak keeper. And this is significant because, for those of you who do not know, Glenn Greenwald recently formed a new news media partnership with Pierre Omidyar, the co-founder of eBay and thus one of the top executives at PayPal. This is all a very interesting and very incestuous circle, and it's extremely provocative and has generated a lot of response from people on both sides of this issue, people who are both skeptical of Greenwald and people who are not. So let's start getting into some of the nitty-gritty of this. And Sibel, let's start with yourself. First of all, if there's anything I mischaracterized there in what I said, please let us know. And secondly, tell us basically what it is that you're trying to drive at with this article series.
Well, I'm going to try, but first I have to make sure I'm trying it without too much laughing or smiling, which I usually engage in. I still have many stitches inside my mouth. I had a surgery. And so if you notice some kind of awkward and weird features or mimics or whatever here, please forgive me. I haven't recuperated yet. And it's hard not to smile and laugh, and I'm with people I really enjoy being with. But several big reasons, major reasons. I start with one, and that is because the case deals with a whistleblower. And the case from the beginning has been characterized as a whistleblowing case. And it may very well be. I don't know that. For the past 6 months, people have contacted me, asked me to put forth opinion and my stand on Edward Snowden. And I have always characterized the action in terms of the bravery that it takes, and it takes a lot of that, if everything is real, to obtain these documents because, one, the person believes that the public is entitled to have this information. Two, that the government is engaged in illegalities, criminalities that they are covering up. So for those noble purposes, pure purposes, if this person is gutsy enough to get those documents, to give it to the public and say, here it is, you need to know what your government is doing, okay? Then absolutely, I support that person. I support Manning. I support anyone who has that much guts and who is that, I know I don't like the word patriotic, but let's say patriotic in terms of he wants to serve his, people, his nation. But I kept saying I don't have enough details to form any, conclusive opinion because I'm still looking at this case. And the more time started to pass, and the more I started reading, and the more I started seeing, and the more I started hearing, the case became more and more convoluted. And you mentioned those points, and that is the fact that all documents were turned over to Glenn Greenwald and the Poitras. B, Well, within 2 months, less than 2 months of that happening in June, in August, Greenwald signs a book, multi-$1 million, gives a promise to the publisher that he's going to sit on some of this information and make it exclusive to the book to make it a bestseller, okay? And the fact that the other two people who have gotten book deals from Washington Post and Guardian, because they got book deals too, they don't have what he has, so he's going to make sure that those documents are not released so the publisher will profit from it and he will deserve millions of dollars on that. And then a month later, he goes, and this is the man who for decades has been justifiably attacking the corporate media. Corporate media, well, we all attack. And he has been very outspoken. I have always saluted his stand on that. Suddenly, he makes a deal with the corporate man, Omidyar, PayPal and eBay owner, billionaire, for $250 million. And it is stated in all the interviews that the only reason Omidyar came to him, to Greenwald, and proposed this partnership so he would give him $250 million for this joint ventureship is that they would, meaning Omidyar's new company, Corporation News Corporation, would publish some of these documents. Well, suddenly, Glenn Greenwald began talking about corporate media is good, not bad. It was very, very bad. Now it is very, very good. and the hypocrisy of it. And not only that, the fact that none of the conditions or the contracts for this joint ventureship is known. Well, that came out. And then the Hollywood studio deals for millions started leaking out. And all along, I haven't heard anything from the whistleblower, Edward Snowden. I have always emphasized through my organization for whistleblowers, as a person, as a whistleblower myself, that whistleblowers have to be really wary about standing really, really pure in terms of don't get partisan, because that would ruin your reputation, because that will insert an agenda into your action, okay? Do not engage with in situations of conflict of interest. So I have been preaching it, but I have also been practicing it myself. Well, in this case, this guy, Snowden, has given Glenn Greenwald all the documents saying, I leave it up to your judgment to do as you wish. Well, if his purpose to start with was obtaining those documents, the government is calling it stealing it, so that the public will get to know, yet giving it to a person that he has never met before, he doesn't even know personally, and say, you do as you wish, that itself raises eyebrows. And I would say there are at least a dozen of points that raise eyebrows, but I want to pause here and I want to start getting specific discussions and questions from both of you, and then we'll get and delve deeper into this.
All right, Guillermo, what's your thoughts on this? Any specific questions that you want to ask about?
Yeah, sure. Well, like, you know, as you said, so you raised a lot of really interesting points just now and throughout the series of your articles, really important points. And as you and I discussed earlier, James, with along with our friend Tom Sucker, we talked about this a few days ago, and we had a discussion about what we thought about the articles and the bigger issues regarding Greenwald, his now $1 million deal with Omidyar, and what that means. And as I said in the beginning, you know, when I first heard about Greenwald leaving The Guardian and starting up a new media venture, initially I was intrigued. I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. Perhaps he's going to go at it independently. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do? Wouldn't that be great? Someone with Greenwald's name and with that sort of attraction that he brings could very well go out and start up a new independent media venture. He doesn't really need millions of dollars. He's in a position where if he went sort of the route that BFP has taken, say, you know, a subscription-based model, I'd ventured against a guest Greenwald and Scahill could round up quite a bit of subscribers, enough to make a comfortable living. So having said all that, you know, again, initially I was sort of torn by the sort of story. As I started reading more, though, I started learning more about who this Pierre Omidyar is, his affiliations with PayPal, PayPal's role in going after WikiLeaks, for example. And that really was the key to me, is that okay, let's put aside the issue of money, which I'm sure, you know, when you attach, again, when you attach so many zeros at the end of a check, that's enough to change anybody. Well, maybe not anybody, but enough to change a lot of people, perhaps even someone like a Greenwald. But let's put that aside for the moment and focus on, okay, well, look at this guy specifically, right? Pierre Omidyar. There is a really obvious and very clear conflict of interest there, right? We know for a fact. Well, I shouldn't say for a fact. We have a pretty good idea that PayPal does indeed cooperate with the NSA, and Greenwald has admitted as much. He has said he has no doubt that PayPal does cooperate with the NSA, which is something that's worth grilling him on. If that's true, as Sabelle pointed out in one of her articles. How do you know that? How do you have no doubt that is the case? And if there is no doubt in your mind that PayPal has cooperated with the NSA and your new boss owns PayPal, is that not a conflict of interest? And to date, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, James or Sabelle, I have not seen Greenwald say anything to that effect, acknowledging the fact that it is clearly a conflict of interest and what he plans to do about it. Now, if he had addressed it instead of going the route that he did go, which we pointed out on the podcast we recorded, resorting to ad hominems and saying, oh, you're crazy, lunatic, stupid for even pointing this out, that I thought was very telling. So, yeah, I guess that's my sort of take on this currently is his reaction to me said a lot. The fact that he won't acknowledge the really clear conflict of interest says a lot. And the fact that, like I said, he doesn't need the millions of dollars. I said a couple of times on the radio show, on the podcast, that I don't think there's anything wrong with making money, even if it's a lot of money. Nothing inherently wrong with that. But for someone in Greenwald's position, he doesn't really, again, need that to move forward with his career. He's got, you know, again, the Glenn Greenwald brand firmly built and firmly intact. So I don't know. What do you guys have to say about that? I mean, like, I guess, again, I think he didn't need this, but should he have turned it down? Could he have turned it down? What do you guys think?
Personally, I would say that I find it somewhat disturbing, as you say. The amount of money that's involved in this, I can't imagine what Scahill and Greenwald and Poitras and friends need with $250 million. Right. Yeah. That's just a staggering sum of money, almost a mind-blowing amount of money for a venture like this. So I can't even imagine why they would think they would need that much for what they're doing. But then again, we don't know what they're doing yet at this point, so we'll see what kind of pseudo mainstream type of outlet they're going to come out with to try to compete with, I guess, the New York Times. I don't know what they're really thinking they're going to do.
Well,
but
James.
That aside, here's a specific question that I wanted to ask Sabelle. Obviously, I understand you can't give away the source that you used for your original article on this. So Omidyar's PayPal corporation said to be implicated in withheld NSA documents, but you did characterize that source as a retired NSA official, and I, to this day, I still wonder, and I don't understand how a retired NSA official could have any indication what is in these Snowden documents, even as the official line is that the NSA still doesn't even know exactly what Snowden got his hands on. That's what they're officially saying anyway. So how does he know this? How can we know that he has this information in the first place?
That's a valid question. Before I answer that question, one other thing that we were talking about with PayPal is also Greenwald's muddying and twisting and giving some really no answer on why doing this deal. He said, I'm doing it because we need attorneys, we need editors, and we need to have an establishment in order to publish these documents. Well, he had all that with Guardian. Guardian has dozens of attorneys. Greenwald was making high six figure with Guardian, so it was not that he was making peanuts. And it was an establishment, plus it was outside the United States. Now, I still consider Guardian an establishment outlet. So the fact that he's giving this, he's saying, because I needed that to publish this, that's not true. Again, that is one thing that is being twisted. He had all that. And Guardian, they said it was unexpected. They were very surprised and they were very upset that this took place. They wished him good luck. Now, back to your question. The NSA source that I have, and I had to delete the name of the division he worked with when he was there with the NSA, and also he is in touch with many other NSA people still. This person is not a whistleblower. He comfortably retired. However, he knows based on the contract works, because this boils down to some software division within the NSA, and it has a specific name. There's the division that had the contract with the place where he was working. Therefore, he knows the type of data and the system those contractors and that particular company would have had access with, people with the high-level clearance. And based on that, he knows that also that division and that particular section contains all sorts of financial information that NSA has been gathering from not only PayPal, but from other credit card companies, from banks, not only international, but also domestic transactions. And again, this is another point with the number of documents. It was 8,000 documents. Then it became 12,000 documents. After that, it was now 50,000. Everybody's talking about 50,000. Then the NSA comes and says it's 2 million documents. Nobody knows how many documents. And this story keeps changing as far as the documents are concerned. Another inconsistent and also twisted answers that Greenwald has been saying and putting forth. He started, and there are several interviews. We have documented it. Other people have documented it. When Greenwald said he spent so much time, he being Snowden, analyzing everything he gathered. He indexed them. He categorized them. In fact, he called it mother effer. So anal and so, we were shocked how he had every single page. Okay, we are talking about tens of thousands of documents. Later, the same man, Greenwald, came and said, we still don't know what's in those documents. Okay, there's so much. It's going to take years for us to know what is what. Okay, these are, I mean, once you start getting into it and get all the information or maybe misinformation that Glenn Greenwald has been putting out there, putting them side by side in a matter of 6 months, then you go, something is seriously wrong here.
Well, I agree that there is, the more you dig into this and the more that you dig into the statements that have been made about the documents, the way they've been handled, the way that they're being distributed, there are so many contradictions that that don't become apparent until you start trying to sort through all these different statements that have been made at different times. So it's difficult to even know what the official word on this is at any given time. But just another connection to add to this mix that I found recently that really, I think, has really settled it in my mind one way or another, is that not only, of course, is Omidyar directly connected to PayPal, being the co-founder of eBay and the largest shareholder in eBay and sitting as the chair of eBay, the parent company of PayPal, but also someone who is on the Omidyar network, which is, of course, Omidyar's organization, Salvador Gambianco, is also, it turns out, a board member of Booz Allen Hamilton, the former employer of Edward Snowden, which is a pretty startling connection for the man who just paid $250 million to start a new news gathering venture with the man who's supposedly reporting on Snowden's leaks. And again, I haven't heard a peep out of Glenn Greenwald about this connection and about the implications of this. He has, of course, given some sort of kind of blanket denial that that there's anything wrong with partnering with this billionaire and that this man is a wonderful, virtuous civil liberties crusader. But he hasn't addressed in specifics the PayPal connection and the other connections to Booz Allen Hamilton, for example, on the Omidyar network, which, again, to my mind, I can't understand how anyone could see this and not be concerned about this, and how the public could not, at the very least, hold Greenwald's feet to the fire over this and demand more transparency over what documents he has and what time frame for release we're looking at here. Because as John Young, Cryptome.org, posted last month, at the current rate of release, it will take 42 years to release all of the documents, assuming there's only 50,000 of them, let alone the 2 million of them or whatever they claim to have now. So, again, there's so many different points to go here. Guillermo, anything you wanted to add at this point?
Yeah, as you said, James, there really are a lot of different points that we could focus on. I have a couple of things that as you guys were talking, I found interesting and worthy of sort of expanding on. But the one thing that we have been talking back and forth about recently has been the strategy involved, whether Greenwald should have dumped it all WikiLeaks-style, the Snowden trove of documents, whether or not his rationale for withholding some of the documents was legitimate. I have legal reasons for why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. There's privacy concerns. The documents may contain information that's sensitive. They may contain individuals' private internet history or something like that. But Sibel raised the issue, which I found compelling, which is, we've heard that Snowden was meticulous in his filing and his documenting and his cataloging of these documents. So if that's true, then one would think anyway that he would have made sure that there was nothing like that he was, you know, handing over to Greenwald to begin with. So if that is true, if Snowden was so meticulous and really was really careful about what he, how he put it together, then there shouldn't be any concern, legal or otherwise, about just releasing all the documents already. So that's one thing that I wanted to throw out there. I wanted to address the criticisms that you, Sibel, have been receiving over the series of articles that you've written about Greenwald. One of the criticisms that I've seen online, I've seen it on Twitter and that sort of stuff. People accuse you of carrying the NSA's water, of taking the public's eyes off the prize, of focusing on Greenwald and Snowden rather than the NSA and what they're doing, their surveillance. I could answer my own question, but I won't. I'll let you answer that. As far as what you would say to those people who are saying that this is what's going on, what would you say about? Because why I'm saying this is because I was reminding of this recently when I was having a talk with Vivian Wiseman. Yeah, sorry about that, Sibel. I don't know. We try not to make you smile or laugh too much. But I was having a conversation on the manufacturing consent with Vivian Wiseman, and we were talking about Occupy, we were talking about COINTELPRO and the Black Panthers, and I was reminded of something that my friend Larry Pinkney has reminded me of several times, which is the old school, like, Chicago-style Black Panther mentality of never attacking other activists. It's sort of like their motto, their mantra. You never go after anyone who you consider to be on the same side or same team. You have a united front, and you go after the ones who really deserve it. Now, what I would say to that is, what happens when someone who was, you know, supposed to be on our side is now potentially in league with, you know, the state, the surveillance state? I think that kind of changes things a little bit, and maybe they do deserve some criticizing publicly. But anyway, I'll throw it to you, Sibel, and maybe you can address some of those critics.
Good. Well, you have 2 points. I just want to quickly add one other thing to your first point you made about Snowden going through all these documents, combing it through, same thing with, Greenwald, of course. And not only that, to prove that, Greenwald's boyfriend, husband, partner takes these documents, 50,000, 2 million, 1 million, in a laptop, and he's traveling, okay? It's safe enough for these documents in a file, in a laptop, to go to Germany, first class travel, by the way. These travel are all first class. Then going to London, Heathrow. Then we have that lady, Poitras. He's trotting the globe, and he's going to New York Times building. He's taking cabs. He's carrying laptop that has 50,000 or 2 million of documents. Glenn Greenwald, same thing, having all these travels, going around the world with these documents. So if it's safe enough, okay, and if it's not sensitive at all for these documents, that these individuals, including the so-called journalist boyfriend, is traveling in the laptop carrying these documents, I tell you, if that's the case, there is nothing important in there. That's one conclusion. I spoke with several other reporters. I said, would you do something like that? This is not during the initial stage. This is 2-3 months after the Alexander the Great was going to drone Snowden. He was going to drone Greenwald. Their lives were in danger. Yet they're running around with these laptops through all these airports, and they're going to airport lounges with all these documents. And what the answer I'm getting is, even people with borderline IQ, you You know, so let's say you are, you know, not intelligent, even though I believe Greenwald is a genius. He's a shrewd, cunning, genius person, would not do it. Yet you see Greenwald and boyfriend and these women and God knows how many people trotting the globe with these millions of documents or 50,000 documents. That alone should tell people something really fishy is going on here. I would never do that. No respectable reporter would go around the world carrying laptop with sensitive documents that you don't know. Some of those may truly hurt us. We don't know, right? Because that's his justification line. I don't know. Some things there may really hurt us. So we have to vet. Hey, Guardian and Greenwald had over 100 meetings with FBI and the NSA and the White House people and the MI6. The guy testified, right? In Parliament in UK. So, okay. That's for that point. The second point with the attack, I don't think you kind of grow some sort of immunity to this because you don't, but after a while, you get to see the pattern. Within 2 months after Obama was elected, the first round, I wrote this article for Boiling Frogs Post, and it was titled something like The Two Sides of the Same Coin or something like that, and I was saying how he's going to be just like Bush or even worse. And his track records contradicted in many ways everything that he was promising, the change, you know. And also within the first few months, he started screwing the nation. I mean, royally screwing, okay? I put this op-ed. My goodness, I had so many attacks. I was completely thrown out by people in Daily Kos who used to say Sybelle Edmonds is a hero. Sybelle Edmonds became a bitch. Excuse my language. I don't know if that's a cuss word. I don't know. I'm not sure. Female dog. And the same thing. How could you say that? The man been in the office less than 3 months. Why don't you give him a chance? Don't you know he has to go and first clean up the mess George W. Bush left? They are making him, pressuring him. You can't jump and conclude this stuff about President Obama. Well, everything I concluded, everything I put in there, I ended up proving to be correct. And not only that, much, much worse, okay? So even 6-7 years after this, 6 years after that elections, to date, you still have that crowd who says this was the man of change. He still was. They must be doing it to him. They must make it. They're twisting his arm, okay? And that's unfortunately happens to be the psyche of the majority. I don't know if there is a syndrome for it. I call it the Messiah-seeking syndrome. They seek Messiah. Obama was the Messiah. Thou shalt not dare criticize Obama. You do. Thou is a bitch. Thou is an evil. Now, the same thing started happening with Greenwald. People, they feel like they need this person who's going to be their savior. Greenwald the savior, Snowden the savior. Thou shalt not question anything. And they are attacking and they are so blinded. They are so blinded that you can put 50 witnesses from the NSA. You can put so many documents. You can put all the 101 logic lines in front of them. They don't want to see it. No. Because they want this to be true. Because this is what actually the mainstream media has been giving them. The picture that we have of Greenwald and his boyfriend and Snowden, where have we gotten this picture? CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, GQ magazine, CQ magazine, just name them. You know, these people, the ones that we've already declared as evil, these corporate media, that they are in cahoots with the government and with the corporations, they are the ones who are providing us on what is Greenwald saying and his pictures and Edward Snowden. That's the information. So if our information is filtered through these corporations and government, you know, government shills, shouldn't we be really examining and questioning and looking at that? Right now, they're saying no, you know, and even if you put the past history of Glenn Greenwald, someone who is highly, not everybody is motivated to some degree by money, but somebody who's highly motivated by money, somebody who's highly motivated by fame, somebody who always has been, look at me, you know, I look at me, I'm here, I want you to look at me. Well, you put all that, you put all the different careers he has held, all of them in one place, and says, what makes you, based on this track record, turn this guy into Jesus Christ, to some sort of Messiah? I mean, what has given you that indication? They wouldn't, and they don't, well, you know what? Maybe he sinned in the past, but he found God. Same thing with Omidyar. The guy has been screwing whistleblowers. His partners, they are saying openly, they love the NSA and what NSA is doing. It's all documented. And Omidyar says, doesn't matter. I found God through Grindelwald, okay? So one of them is a god. One of them is a messenger. They have gotten together. Mainstream media is marketing them. And unfortunately, we have the gullible people who are saying, again, I'm going to do my hallelujah move over here.
Go ahead, James. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more with what you're saying there. I mean, it is ridiculous the pedestal that these people are put on, and it doesn't even mean that we have to be negative or vicious in our attacks. We just have to be critical about what they're doing and what they're saying, and hold them to the same standards that we would hold anyone else. And so I agree with that. But let's not be coy about it, and let's put all the chips on the table, because I think a lot of people would argue that the reason that they support Grindelwald is because in the past he has done some excellent and very strong reporting on a number of issues, whether it be drone strikes or what have you. He has been one of the few voices out there talking about some of these issues and pushing them to the fore, doing so in a very cogent and intelligent and articulate and informed manner. So why would we throw him under the bus at the first sign of some importunity? Yeah, I think I just made that word up.
Laughing.
point is well made.
Sorry, no more humor. You have intimated in the past that there are areas that Grindelwald will not go into with his reporting, and I would like to hear more about that if you have any specifics that you can point people to about the areas that Grindelwald does not talk about, specifically does not talk about and avoids in his reporting.
My pleasure, and I will give you documented information as well. Many, many witnesses, documents, emails, articles, so they can go check on that. And you're absolutely right with the point you made, James, and the fact that has he written some incredibly wonderful sounding stuff, you know? I tell you what, Obama did too. Obama wrote a goddamn book on Constitution, okay? It's about this thing, and you'll become a believer, okay? If you didn't know Obama and what he's been doing, and he's a constitutional lawyer, just like Glenn Greenwald, maybe going and studying constitutional law does something, you know, in some way bastardize people. I have no idea what's going on. Because John Yoo of the Justice Department, who screwed people, okay, and screwed the Constitution, was a constitutional scholar too. So maybe there is some kind of a correlation here. You become constitutional scholar, you go screw Constitution. Maybe there is, maybe there is not. Maybe we have to find more data to see if we can establish that correlation. Anyhow, that was meant to be a kind of a sarcasm here. But yes, he did write some great stuff. And guess what? If you go and look at Boiling Frog's Post Nightly News in the past 4 or 5 years, you will see that some of his articles were published, the titles, and they were linked when he was in Salon or even Guardian. And when it needed applaud, I would have said, hey, I applauded him. That, together with a lot of things that actually were censured by him, a lot of good things that were attacked by him, and I will name a few here. One is, he became and he was declared as the foremost author, pundit, columnist, commentator on the state secrets privilege, okay? State secrets privilege that nobody really knew about, and I was one of the first victims during George W. Bush 2002. I received the state secrets privilege invocation not once but twice, one in 9/11 case, one was in my whistleblowing case. So Glenn Greenwald has written more on state secrets privilege than anybody else, so I admit to it, right? And in many of his writings, Glenn Greenwald actually says, I'm going to provide you with the history. All the cases where state secrets privilege have been known to be invoked, okay? So this is what he's been doing. And people, I invite you to go and search all the archives. You get all his, and you're going to find more than dozens of articles, dozens of analysis on state secrets privilege. Glenn Greenwald starts with the historical case, Reynolds case, the first state secrets privilege invocation in 1950s, okay? Late 1940s or early 1950s in Reynolds case. He's saying, this is when it was invoked. And then it was abused by George W. Bush. And then he goes through all these cases of al-Hamdi and al-Masri and all the people who were actually considered labeled terrorists wrongfully by the administration, but all Arabic names, right? That's it. If you go and look, you will not find, and he always says, I'm going to provide you with the history. He actually fudged and censures the history. He took out all the American cases in the state secrets privilege. Sybelle Edmonds, the state secrets privilege case, well, he used to work at once upon a time for the ACLU before he started his porno company, okay? And I'm not attacking his porno company, but it was not that he was having a porn business and then again he found Jesus and he went to ACLU. He did a lot of ACLU and constitutional law. He saw there was not money in there. He said, I want to make money. So you go from civil liberties to exploitation business of porno. Okay, now it's not an illegal business. I don't like to illegalize anything in this country. Everything should be legal, especially prostitutions and all those things. However, it was not that I was young, 19 years old, okay, and then later I found Jesus. No, he left Jesus and he went to porno business. Anyhow, so he lists all these things, right? Sybelle Edmonds' case is missing. The one that ACLU, his former employer, considered the most egregious case of state secrets privilege. Number two, it has been received twice, and this is the most classified case in the U.S. history. So forget about me. It's not about me, right? Another, the most outrageous that I consider most outrageous, the state secrets privilege case, Richard Barlow of the CIA. This is the guy who exposed A.Q. Khan, Pakistan's nuclear weapons program, and he was screwed royally, a real whistleblower. Guess what? He was the recipient of state secrets privilege. Even Seymour Hersh wrote about it. Glenn Greenwald erases me, erases Richard Barlow, and other cases, DEA whistleblower, okay, Dick Horn. Okay, Richard Horn blew the whistle on CIA, how CIA was actually jeopardizing DEA work in Burma, in heroin business, in cocaine business, and actually they were causing death even among DEA agents, right? So when he blew the whistle, he received the state secrets privilege. In fact, they settled it with him for $1.5-2 million, and he has to zip his mouth for the rest of his life, so he can't talk about it. But that's okay. I'll talk a lot. I'll talk for him too. So that case is a court case. It's out there. But Glenn Greenwald, so even my attorneys, even ACLU, everybody started contacting Glenn Greenwald saying, dude, what happened? You erased like a big decade and three, four state secrets privilege cases. All of them happened to be Americans. He wouldn't respond to them. I had a congressional source at the time he was working in Congressman Waxman's office. You know what he told me? And this is 2007, 2006. He said, currently Congress is facing this pressure on state secrets privilege. People like, court's not going to do anything about it. So we need to put pressure. ACLU was putting pressure in Congress too. We don't want to be forced to do that. We being the Congress. So Greenwald has been told by the establishment to limit all his cases when he's talking about it to Muslim Arab guys, because Americans won't be sympathetic to Arab Muslim guys, and therefore they will not go and say, what, state secrets privilege? These are patriotic Americans. Richard Barlow was born and raised here. Forget me, I was not born here, so I can't be a patriotic American. Dick Horn, okay, Richard Horn, I mean, come on. You know, he was like even from the South, so he's even more American, okay? And they invoked him and they slapped gag order on this guy. Woo! No, sir. Those cases did not exist. I kept sending him email. I just got one response. Go away, bitch.
Okay? Was that literally what he said?
No, that's what it is. Go away, bitch. That was it.
Wow.
And this was back when he was in Salon. I said, attorneys, ACLU, he decided that he's going to fudge history, that state secrets privilege was in Reynolds case half a century ago, maybe AT&T case, and everything is Arab terrorists or the people who have been labeled as terrorists, so that So that was one case with Glenn Greenwald and fudging this. The second case is Russell Tice. Russ Tice has always been sending me information, and he said he has kept all the emails since 2005 that he has been sending Glenn Greenwald, okay? And he came out in your show, in my show, in your show, you know, and he talked about, even in support of Edward Snowden, saying, you know, we blackmailed, we collected these on judges, okay? NSA did this, and this guy was in this in the position. Now, again, Russell Tice, patriotic American, he has had so many medals from the Air Force, and he actually received several awards while he was working for NSA. When he blew the whistle, they said he has to go and see psychiatric evaluation, because that's what NSA does to all their whistleblowers. Anyhow, Glenn Greenwald said, under no circumstances I'm going to cover Russell Tice's case. Well, Russell Tice has been saying exactly the same thing, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, for 8-9 years. And Greenwald said he would never, ever cover Russell Tice. Even Keith Olbermann covered a little bit Russ Tice. So censorship on that. And there were some other cases with 9/11 that he says 9/11 cooks and he's not going to do anything. And basically, he has been calling me even with Twitter crazy, stupid, and... oh, 9/11 truther. And I responded to that. You know what? I am a 9/11 truther, and I'm proud of it. Actually, I'm a truther for everything. I'm a JFK truther, anthrax truther, 9/11 truther, the Boston bomb truther. I'm a truther. And if being a truther is a very pejorative thing in your book, wow. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys speak.
No, I mean, this could be called an education in Glenn Greenwald, even for myself, because these are things that personally, as we talked about before, you know, following Greenwald's career, at least when he started with Salon into The Guardian, that's how I became familiar with Greenwald and his writing. As we talked about, he's a great writer, he's covered important stories, but as we're learning, there's a lot more to the guy. And as James said earlier, and as you've said, Sabelle, there's definitely a danger in putting people up on a pedestal, whoever it might be. And someone like this who has profited, I know he doesn't like the word profiteering because that there's like legal implications there, right? But profiting abso-freaking-lutely, the guy has profited from this tremendously. And so if that's the case, then he deserves to be looked at and criticized. Now, you've mentioned also, you know, not to keep going back to things that you've already mentioned, but I'm curious to hear more about, you know, how he was he selling interviews? Did I hear you comment on this recently that you were going to talk to some people and give us more information on this? Because that I found that really disturbing. I was like, are you serious? I mean, aren't you not making enough money? You have to make just a little bit more?
Oh, okay. No, absolutely. In fact, James and I are working on it. James is going to interview Pepe Escobar. Peter right, B. Collins and I, right before our interviews with Pepe Escobar, and Pepe Escobar is from Brazil, okay? Mm-hmm. And Pepe Escobar's wife works there, you know, with various publishers, etc. And he gets to know a lot firsthand and through his wife about Glenn Greenwald. And he's going to actually more accurately, because I don't know the names of the publications, but when they requested some documents and interviews in each instance, Greenwald, and again, I'm going to let Pepe Escobar in his own words say it, that he has been saying, okay, how much money are you going to offer for it? And then he would put it on bid, saying, well, no, this other one now saying this much, I'm not going to give you interview documents. So again, as I said, and he's not the only one. I'm talking with another reporter, again, foreign reporter, who knows about how he has been saying, I'll give you document, I'm dealing, you know, auction. I have here, have $500, $1,000, oh, it's $1,500, $2,000 anyone, $1,500 goes, okay, $1,500. I'll give you anything you want. I pull down my pants. I mean, in Turkey, we have a saying that goes like this, okay? In Turkey, they say these people who would do anything for money. Okay, and there are people like that. I have come across people like that. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying in Turkey, there is this saying that says there are these people who would even sell their daughters and their mothers for money. Okay, when you see all this with Omidyar and the guy's background, after this guy has bashed, rightfully so, corporate media, the worst of corporate media, owned by one who Woo! Okay. So now we have the alternative media, all these ones owned by Soros. The trend started about a decade ago. Amazon buys Washington Post, Omidyar gets this, and these reporters, whatever reporters, I don't want to even call them that. And then next, who is it? Warren Buffett is going to buy someone. And who else? I mean, basically, they're saying the corporations, instead of doing with the intermediary kind of media corporations, New York Times and Washington Post, well, heck, let's go and do it. Let's have a media by corporation, for corporation, and be done with it. And that's exactly what they are doing. So the guy who does that for money, after all these years of without any shame, and he can look you straight in the eye and say, it's a great thing. And let me tell you why. Like snake oil salesman, you know? Holy moly, what happened? You said it was a disease. It was sinful. Now you're saying it's the greatest thing. Reporters, good reporters, must have corporate sugar daddies. Otherwise, how could you report? You need to have their money, right? Well, you had that. Okay, that book, this, selling interviews, and who knows what. And this is one of the reasons I asked the question. We need to hear from Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden, if he's okay with this, I would not consider him a whistleblower under any circumstances. If he does not stand up and take his stand saying whistleblowing should always be paired up with purity of intention and integrity and maintain integrity. If he's saying, forget that he gave. Let's say he didn't know. Let's say he was naive. Let's say he was scared. I don't know his reasons. Okay? He gave all these documents to Glenn Greenwald. And if Edward Snowden is okay with Glenn Greenwald, sell it to PayPal, sell it for book, selling interviews, okay, doing all these things that this guy has been doing, and Edward Snowden is okay with him, no, sir, he's not a whistleblower. He's worse than a traitor because government considers any kind of voice of dissent trait, you know, being a traitor, and I hate that. They attach that to all whistleblowers. He would be considered, in my book, a traitor, and that would be a traitor against the public, against the people, not only in the United States, everywhere in the world. And I know Greenwald comes and, again, twists everything and says Bob Woodward got paid for exposing Watergate. Apples and oranges. No. Apples and watermelon. I mean, apples and sandwiches. He was working for Washington Post. You were working for Guardian. So you would have stayed there. You were getting paid. Nobody had problem with that. Okay? I want millions, tens of millions of dollars is different than that. He published book. How come you're not going at... I don't even consider Bob Woodward someone that I even want to talk about. I hate that guy. Okay? He's a slimy CIA. Blech. Okay? So... However, and then he's saying Dan Ellsberg did not sell documents. Dan Ellsberg handed these documents to Gravel, to New York Times, and he's like, publish it. And Dan Ellsberg's book didn't come out till years after his whistleblowing. Bob Woodward's book, even though I hate Bob Woodward, and I would say it in his face, I hate you, Bob Woodward, his came years after that. This guy signed a deal, and his book is going to come out this March. It's going to be 9 months after. We don't even know anything about this case. One person of documents have become public. Whoa, you're comparing yourself to these cases saying mine is justified? Well, Edward Snowden needs to stand up and clarify these issues and be man enough to say, I think that's fine. And if he says that, my next question to him is, are you getting a cut commission on this? Because how do we know this is not some kind of a collaboration between several parties? Maybe it is PayPal and Greenwald. Who knows? Is he getting paid for it? I mean, people, they're going to say, you are despicable, Sibel, to even say, I am not accusing him. I am asking the question because if he's okay with those actions, with what Greenwald is doing, then he has to say that he should be okay by getting his cut. Come on. 50 million, 10 million, whatever million, he should get what, 25%? He got it, man. He should get 50.
Well, on that note, Sibel, this is not a question that doesn't have an answer. It does. The only problem is getting the question to Edward Snowden himself and getting an answer. But on that very point, people that you are associated with, people that you know, have recently traveled to see Edward Snowden. Why were these questions not put to him at that time?
Well, you're looking at it, and some of these people are really nice, honorable people. You know, Jaslyn Radack, for example, she's a real whistleblower. I respect what she did. She has been working for Soros-funded Government Accountability Project, GAM, okay? And since she started working with them, actually, they have done some good work, okay? She's the one who pushed for the organization to represent Thomas Drake. During my time, nobody would represent whistleblowers. So she has done some good stuff. But you're looking at people who are systems people, okay? Even though they have, in a limited way, blown the whistle, or in some case, in Thomas Drake, they want to still go by the system. You're looking at same people, Ray McGovern, okay, together with Dan Ellsberg. Dan Ellsberg came on my show 2 years after the first term for Obama, and he said, I was conned. And you know what, James, I hope we can get that clip because he's on record there, and you can play it. I was conned. I was conned by Obama, and I went and I gave Obama my vote. That makes Obama a real con artist. Verbatim, please play that stuff, right?
Was that a defense of our fundamental values? Is torture a fundamental value? Kidnapping? Rendition? Aggressive war? For a president to have said that that's what we were doing under his predecessor, Bush, was an insult to the American people, to anyone with any sense of memory as to where we've been in the last 8 years. And, of course, it was in the support of continuing that unconstitutional action. Let me say very definitely, I feel we are now in the hands of a con man.
Second term for Obama, after Obama puts whistleblowers in jail, which no president has really done ever, okay? Dan Ellsberg, in the summer of 2012, goes out there for 6 months, campaign for Obama, and participates in fundraising. And I go, oh, what in the world? Then Obama gets reelected, okay? And a month later, he and Ray McGovern, they start a new campaign called Impeach Obama. WTF. I mean, what is this? I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, is this a case of senility? Or is this a case of, what is it? And to this date, I haven't been able to answer what the heck is going on. So when you look at that crowd and they go there, maybe, I mean, because I said most people want to believe that this is real. Maybe they want to believe this is real. Maybe they don't want to push for answers. Why rock the boat? Because there is only not one boat. There is a boat of government. Maybe some of these people rock the boat of government, which is the whistleblowing within the government. There are other boats you can rock, which I have rocked. All of them, I have racked them. I have shipwrecks everywhere, okay? The media boats, you don't want to rock. You want to keep, you know, don't burn your bridges, Sabelle. You do that, then they're going to say, poo, we will not going to interview her. Amy Goodman. She's talking against Obama and going this far. I'm not going to have her after I had her during Bush regime or Bush administration 4 times in a row. So these people, they have rocked the government boat, but they are not willing to rock the NGO and, you know, the status quo. And then later it's going to be they don't want to go back and admit they are wrong, because once things are going to come out, I'm sure they're going to blame who knows what. I don't know what they're going to blame, but I'm sure they're going to find something to blame.
They'll find a way to blame you, probably. Right. It was your fault for trying to bring our attention to this in the first place. Well, you've raised some very, very important points, and unfortunately, I think some of the most interesting ones have been buried towards the back of this conversation. So I hope people who have listened to this entire conversation do go and spread the word about what the information contained herein. Because there really is some very important issues here that do need to be explored, and they will not be explored unless people hold people like Glenn Greenwald's feet to the fire to make them answer these questions. And again, I'm not here saying that he is an evil person or I know what's going on. I certainly don't, but I do want answers to the questions that have been put forward here today, and I think they deserve answers, and serious answers, not petulant ad hominem attacks or responses or dismissals that you're crazy and you can't ask this. So that's my take on this. Any final thoughts from either of you as we wrap this conversation up?
Guillermo, you go first.
No, yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. The answers are very, very necessary. I really do hope that that message gets to Mr. Snowden. The open letter that you wrote, Sabelle, finds its way to him, and we do get some answers to those questions. I think that will really, that'll say a lot right there once those answers do come forward, about whether or not he signed off on this, whether or not he considers this a conflict of interest, whether or not he's okay with everything that Greenwald is doing. And as you said, James, you know, I don't pretend to know all the answers either about what's in Greenwald's heart or mind, or Snowden's heart or mind. So, which is why we're here asking the questions, after all. And I hope that people listening and watching to this realize that what we're doing here is simply raising awareness, raising the questions, and that we you know, genuinely want these questions answered and don't want to. I kind of lost what I was trying to say there, but basically, I wanted to echo what Sabelle was saying earlier about. Everything we've talked about so far about how this is what's happened here is we've had people sort of divide up into camps, and Greenwald now has his little camp. And unfortunately, there are good people within that camp, even good writers and good commentators that I've followed over the years that unfortunately fall into that same trap you described earlier, that don't want to see it. They so badly want to keep believing that it's everything that they've come to know so far. And anything that questions that, well, they'll react the ways that they have reacted, and they'll lash out with the name calling and everything else. So hopefully, we do get some answers very, very soon, and we'll follow up on this as they come in.
Certainly. I share that hope. And I know that through WikiLeaks, at least I know Snowden has gotten this, because it is going around and it is being sent around. And I have just one last comment here about, again, I have received so many hate emails. I'm talking about really, really with ugly languages. And every time I come and go against the status quo and raise questions, forget about just accusing, raise questions, that happens. And it has been happening. And I see that. You're like, 25 people disappear from my Twitter followers, and then 50 people get to be added. They become pro that. And then I have 15 minus, 10 plus. It goes same thing with the website. Oh, damn you, woman. I ain't gonna give no money to you no more. No money. Okay, that's fine. If that's the kind of a person you don't want things questioned, I don't want you here either. You can just go find a place where you can be among the choir and you can all sing the same tune, okay? And I will say hallelujah to all of you. Now, that's for that. And the other thing is, I am not here with this desire to be liked. I really don't care if I'm not liked. I am not trying to be a personality. I am not promoting a, you know, movie and a book deal or any of this stuff. The only reason I started this website and with my partners, one reason, and that is seeing the absence of the forums. Of course, there's your place and there's James' website. Very few where you get really critical mind asking the questions, regardless of the party, regardless of the religion, regardless of what nation it is, just as is, and question everything, question. And there are not many people who do that, unfortunately. And I believe that's why we are where we are today, because of this mentality. So you don't want to like me? That's perfectly fine. If you like me, that's fine too. You liking me or not liking me is not going to take away or give me anything, okay? I appreciate it when people are supportive. And I understand people who don't want to support and go elsewhere. But please don't keep bombarding me with this email saying, don't burn your bridges. You're going to cut your support and you're going to lose 15 or 25% of your followers. I'm not a Jesus. I'm not counting followers here. I'm not Muhammad. I know I've been picking on Jesus. Last time it was Muhammad, and people, all the Muslims came and said, what are you doing? Today is Jesus. Please remind me. Next time I'm going to just limit myself to Buddha or Confucius or whatever. But I am not picking on Jesus. I'm saying I am not counting followers. I am here for the truth. I'm a truther. I'm a proud truther for everything that you can think of, especially those significant issues that we have not been told the truth. We have not gotten answers. This goes along those and this Edward Snowden case, as with 9/11 and the Boston bomb attack and so many, JFK, you name it. Yes, I am. So if you want to, you think you're insulting me, no. I think you should be more critical and creative and come up with something that maybe sticks. But truther, love it. So I thank you for all of you who have been calling me truther, and many, many thanks to you.
Excellent. Well, I think we're going to leave it there, and I think next time we'll have to talk about either Zoroaster or maybe the Flying Spaghetti Monster. But at any rate, okay, that's going to do it for this conversation, but of course, this conversation relies on the input from people out there, so we do appreciate your feedback, comments, and input through all of our respective websites, through BoilingFrogsPost.com, on the YouTube version of this video. Wherever you're watching this, please leave your your insights, your feedback, your commentary, and that will help to move this conversation along, hopefully in a productive manner. But we're going to leave things there for now, and of course, we will once again encourage people to check out the article series on this subject at BoilingFrogsPost.com if you haven't been following it, because a lot of the information is contained in there as well. And I think we're going to leave it there. Guillermo, Sibel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.